You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Game of Shows.
So, Lawrence, episode two. What did you think?
Episode two. It was a classic. It was of all the episodes we've ever done, that is up there. I would say that is up there in my top two.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the two best episodes we've ever done, isn't it?
It's one of the two great. If there was a greatest hits album, that would be track one or two on it.
Yeah. This week was fun. It was good having kind of the boys against the girls this week, wasn't it?
There was. It was boys against girls. It was kind of hip hop show against hip hop show. Like,
yeah, the historical.
The history boys or history girls. And yeah, it was, you know, there's just a lot of laughter and a lot of the contestants once again completely entered into the spirit of the game, which we wanted to be fun and enjoyable. And they didn't really mind when they got a question wrong, which is good.
No.
Some people might get upset. Actually, Sophie's reaction, which I edited out when she first got a question wrong, she just went, brilliant. Because everyone else had got their questions right. So it came to her at the end of the first round of the first questions. And she gets a question wrong and she just goes, oh, brilliant. It's like as if, oh, now I know how this is going to go.
Yeah. I did think that they were really good fun, the guys, weren't they? At the end of it, when we'd finished, obviously it went on for, I don't know, 2 hours or something. And then we had to edit it down. But by the end of it, my cheeks, it really did feel like we had laughed the whole time.
Definitely,
it was a really fun evening.
Genuine laughter. And I think actually when the moment in the middle, I was thinking about when they tell the stories of, you know, these embarrassing moments. One of the reasons they kind of connect with each other so well is because they've all been there, haven't they? They've all had moments like that and they can really relate. So it is genuinely funny. And to each other, like if someone's listening to this, who doesn't, you know, do what they do, who doesn't go on stage. And actually, I don't do what they do. I don't go on stage. Yeah. You know, you listen to it with real interest about what it's like to be in that. But when they're listening to each other, they're listening to it on a completely different level. They're like, totally relate to what each other's saying.
Yeah, because
you must
actually
have had experiences like that as well.
Yeah, totally. Like everything they said, I think I've done as well. Fallen over, forgot lines. I mean, I don't think I've ever fired a blank gun and just hit someone instead. But you know, swings and roundabouts. But one thing I did get from last week's episode that people have come back to me, they really like that round, actually. I was meant to talk to you off mic.
The round that takes about 15 minutes to record, but edited it down to like 4 minutes or something. But
I think that was one of our things, wasn't it? We were worried that would it come across well on the podcast, but I think people really like it because it is an insight, as you just said.
And it's kind of them just being themselves, talking genuinely about themselves.
Yeah.
I have to say, although I said I don't do that, I did, my brief foray into an acting career did include one season at the Library Theatre in Manchester, where I managed to go on stage on opening night with my flies undone and my shirt kind of poking through my flies. And there's a moment it was in the Secret Garden where I had to stand up from my wheelchair and shout something like, I'm straight, because I was standing upright. And the line was something like, I'm straight, but I literally stood up from my chair with my flies undone.
One that I can think of is when I was in Joseph, there's a point in the show where there's like, it's because obviously sung through Joseph, it's all music, but there's one point in the production I did where one of the brothers runs on right at the end and Jacob comes to Egypt to see Joseph now as prince. And one of the brothers runs on and goes, hey, look, it's dad. Over some music, and that was my line. I was lucky enough to get that one line.
Well,
so I used to run on downstage left, point over to stage right. Hey, look, it's dad. One particular show I ran on and absolutely stacked it.
My trousers
just went under my shoe, absolutely stacked it. Downstage left. Obviously, when you're in that show, it's like 11 brothers all having a laugh. So you can imagine what they were like on stage afterwards.
Bit of camaraderie.
Yeah,
good story. Six points, I think.
Oh, yes. But also, it's been a big week for us, though, this week, hasn't it?
It has, because...
Yeah, we're now live on Spotify, yep. Apple Podcasts,
yeah,
Podbean.
We're on all
the sites.
We're on all the best sites. But actually, I think the fact that we're now on iTunes is a great moment for the podcast. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, and I think this is now the moment that now we're as official podcast presenters, we need to say... Download it, like, subscribe, like, and comment. That's what you
absolutely
say.
Yeah, you do. Download, like, subscribe, and comment. And I was thinking of changing my profile on Facebook to read composer, lyricist, quiz show host.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And also, we should say, now that we've, you know, our Instagram's now up and running and our Twitter's up and running, @shows_quiz. And what's our Instagram?
@GameOfShowsQuiz.
Yeah, and Instagram @GameOfShowsQuiz. We could maybe ask people who are listening if they enjoy it to send us a little message and tell us what they like about the podcast.
That would be amazing, yes.
Because we've already started having some comments on Twitter and stuff, and it's really nice to read that people are enjoying it and playing along. So feel free to send us messages.
And maybe to suggest which shows you think we should get on the show, which musicals we should get on the show. Who are the big, you know, stars of the shows that you would really love to hear on Game of Shows, because we could, I don't know, text them or something.
Well, yeah, because here at Game of Shows Quiz, we like to make dreams happen.
We do. Talking of making dreams happen, I had a dream that you and I sat and chatted to Sophie Isaacs and Natalie Paris and Aaron Lee Lambert and Jay Perry.
No way. I had the same dream too.
I know. I felt like we chatted to them for about 20 minutes about their lives and what it's like being in Hamilton and Six. And it does sound quite amazing. So we wanted to share that.
Cue dreamy music.
Here is. So let's listen to when Chris and Lawrence met the guys from Six and Hamilton.
Game of Shows.
So Sophie and Natalie, tell us a bit about what it's like to actually be in Six, this phenomenon that's kind of taking the world by storm.
It's so much fun. It's such an amazing, empowering show to be a part of. And also, every day I go into work, we have so much fun together. Been a whirlwind in the best way possible.
I was reading that you are now the longest serving queen. Now that Amy's gone, you're the I don't know what the work would be.
The last one standing.
The queen of queens. But I was also reading that you've been doing this since you were very small, haven't you? You were a ballet girl in Billy Elliot. You were young Cosette. Do you like it if people talk about that? About the fact that you were a child?
Yeah, you could talk about it.
What's it like going from being my youngest daughter was a ballet girl in Billy. In fact, both my daughters have been doing shows, and they've been doing them all. They've got like 6 West End credits between them. They've been doing it a long time and aspire to go on and be adult professionals. Did you always know that was on the cards for you? Did you always determine to see it through?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, I was so lucky. As a child, I loved it so much. And I think, especially now looking back, those experiences that I had doing, you know, most of my friends are in school every day and I got...
Yeah, did you go to a stage school as well, or were you at regular school?
I was at regular school until when I was 12, I begged my parents to let me go to stage school and they were like, no. Oh. but I did. I got into Italia Conti and they did eventually let me go, which was so much fun. But I feel
and
like
was I'm... it a seamless transition from being a child performer to an adult performer, or did you kind of, you went to RADA, I think, did you in between? Or
I did, yeah. I kind of had a bit of a break. I gigged loads. I was part of like a Motown band and I kind of did my own thing for a while. And then I kind of missed it. And I did the foundation course at RADA, which was the best year of my life. And then I came back into it and got Six. And yeah, I was very lucky that that was kind of my first adult job, I guess.
Yeah.
So I had some time out for quite a while to kind of do my own thing and the more of the like the poppy side of things, and then found my way back.
And actually you've found yourself but in the perfect musical for that, in a way, that combination of the two.
Perfect for me. So yeah,
Sophie Isaacs. So what about you? Were you a child performer as well? Have you been doing this since you were tiny?
I didn't ever do it professionally when I was small. My mum owns a stagecoach franchise in Cheltenham, still does.
Oh, wow.
So it was part of theatre and stuff, was always part of me growing up, and we loved it. And she was amazing at taking us to the West End. Her best friend was a really, really successful West End actor, did loads of stuff. So we'd go down all the time and experience it. And it was always part of my upbringing, but I didn't work hard enough basically when I was a kid to even be in a show. And then at the age of 14, I went, oh, people do this as a job. Like, you get paid. That's what you do every day. That's brilliant. So then I actually thought, okay, I'll try really hard. And I'll actually focus my energy into doing it as a career. So it's a bit later on. My sister danced from the age of like 3 or something, and I just wasn't really interested. And just sort of thought, oh, okay, whatever.
And look at you now, and you've got a pretty impressive CV. Well, how does Six compare to all the other musicals that you've done? Is it a new experience being in something that, I mean, you've been in successful shows, but this is. Must be different.
Yeah, it's amazing. I kind of feel like Heather's was like my training to deal with
it. Fan base, isn't there, for Heather's?
Yeah. So like, I think it's a similar fan base. It's a similar audience in age and stuff. So I think that kind of opened my eyes to that world. But it is certainly like nothing I have ever experienced and possibly will never experience again. And I think it's incredible.
Are you accosted at the stage door every night? Why?
No.
Well, not at the moment, I suppose. Standing at the back door going, hello, anybody like an autograph?
Yeah, it's a really good setup, actually. You don't have to, but we all choose to, because it's just such a nice thing when you've had such an amazing response on stage to the audience loving what you've done as much as you've loved giving the performance that you've given. To meet them afterwards is just a really, really nice little cherry on the cake.
And do you see a lot come back like night after, well, not necessarily night after night, but over and over again?
Yeah, well, Nat will probably be able to tell you about that more than me.
yeah we do, which is lovely. And I think what is really nice as well is that like a lot of the fans have found their friendship groups and feel like they fit in somewhere through the show, which is so amazing. They've formed their own friendships, which maybe they haven't had in school or whatever, and they've kind of found that through their love for the show, which is so lovely to see. And you know, and we see the same sort of faces, which is,
I think it feels like nice. When I was at school growing up, the Spice Girls were obviously massive, and that was like girl power, and it feels like Six is like the equivalent of, you know, the Spice Girls back then in pop world, and now Six is kind of the musical theatre version of it. Does it feel like you are a musical theatre pop star? Yeah.
Spice Girl. Does it
actually, maybe
like
there's a question.
Yeah, like
what Spice Girl would you be in Six?
Oh. What, as in me as Natalie or me as Jane?
Your character, yeah. Let's see your character. Which Spice Girl would your character be?
I think Jane would be Baby... Oh, would she be Baby Spice? Oh, I don't know, actually. Because she's not as like.
It's interesting. They do have very clear, different kind of character traits, though, don't they? As you go through Six, you meet six different women who have these kind of strong character traits that, in a way, every young woman in the audience is going to be able to relate to.
Yeah,
that was the genius of the Spice Girls, in a way, wasn't it? That
and
then One Direction or all those other things for guys to relate to.
Yeah, I think that's why it's had so much success and such a fan base as well, because there's some part or some trait or some message that every single young girl can look to and relate. Yeah, and relate to. And
it was needed in that sense, really. You can't really think of another show that does that, really.
Mm.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you, ladies. Let's talk to the guys because they're very patiently sat there. Thank you, gentlemen, for sitting and listening to the ladies. But, you know, talking about empowering shows and shows with something of a fan base and a modicum of international success. You guys are both in Hamilton.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I mean, you're the whole, we could do the whole show here.
Yeah. Do the whole show now, go.
Probably, oh gosh.
I kind of thought that was what this was, so I kind of prepared.
Press play.
It's either going to be that, or I'm going to choose which Spice Girl I'm going to be. And I'm
That's my next question.
Yeah. A lot of those questions, yeah. A lot of those questions I wanted to answer, yeah.
One of the most fascinating, the fact that you have to cover multiple roles. To be able to... play a role in a musical is fascinating for anyone who goes to see theatre. But to see someone who last night was perhaps playing the opposite role, I mean, Jay, how do you know whether to kill or be killed? if you were on do you sometimes find you're like on one night for one role and on the next night for another, or do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I cover three roles. I stand by three roles. And on the last week before all the theatres closed, I was on for all three. So them kind of weeks, wow. it's just madness. It's just you just get on with it, didn't you, Aaron? I mean,
you have to.
You got to do it. So you get on with it and just hope for the best and hope you don't tread on someone else's lines.
I'll bet. Chris was telling me a story about when he was doing a similar thing in Jersey Boys years ago, and a friend of ours, a mutual friend, saw him sat in the corner in rehearsals kind of with his head in his hands, they were like, what's wrong, Chris?
And you were much. but then for me it was like I swung six parts but nowhere near the scale of the parts you're playing, so that's like a whole of the ball game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it requires a versatility, but I think more than anything, if you just kind of give in to the material, like luckily the material that we're given is so good that it kind of makes you raise your game. And I don't want to speak for Jay, but I mean, I definitely felt like in rehearsals originally, like I am never going to be able to learn all of this.
Yes, because there's like three times the amount of words in Hamilton than
exactly, and that's music. One track, and I cover four, so like it feels insurmountable. But I think luckily with our particular show, that the material is really, really good, and it gives you so much to work with and so much to kind of strive towards. It's made me a better performer, wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I agree. What I do have to say though is that it took me about maybe four months or something to learn my three tracks, maybe 4 months, and then this coronavirus has happened. So I feel like I'm going to go back and have to spend another 4 months just relearning the tracks because I don't.
Well, I guess
them.
You won't. No, yeah, but it'll I'm sure it'll come flooding back. But hopefully they'll let you go back into rehearsal a little bit. They won't just text you and say we're up tomorrow. Jay, you're on.
I'm gonna need it, otherwise it's gonna be a real car crash. So yeah.
But actually, that the logistics of that coming out of lockdown for all of your shows is unbelievable. Really, to think about the longer this goes on, the scale of getting these shows back up and.
I'm excited to get in a rehearsal room because I rehearsed on my own and all the girls were still performing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So I've never rehearsed with them. I'm like, yes, get me in there.
So
I can't wait. I was rehearsing Panto at the same time. I was in Panto at the same time. Yeah. So I would rehearse in the morning. So I am like chomping at the bit to get in a rehearsal room and just be with them all. I can't wait.
Yeah. Obviously both shows are featuring like real historical people from how does that differ playing someone that's, you know, from history and not a fictional character?
I think for Six especially, we are playing historical characters, but we're not playing them completely legit as to,
yeah,
like in the period and everything like that. We're kind of, we've had the freedom, I guess, not the freedom, the creativity to kind of put our own sort of influence in on like Jane and all these queens. So we obviously did do all the research and looked up
the women, the queens as them. But I think because they're kind of pop inspired as well, that we're not playing them legit. Like there's a lot of me that I put into the role as well. So it's kind of, it's a bit of
both. Is that encouraged during like the rehearsal process to bring your own spin on the parts?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Massively.
That's quite refreshing, right? To be able to do that.
Yeah. Which makes it, yeah. Yeah. It's quite a special show to be involved in, I guess, which is,
And what about the Hamilton guys? Similar thing, or is it more rigid, stuck to history?
I mean, it's definitely not rigid in the sense they're like, George Washington walked like this, you must walk like this. I think it's more of a case of, you know, this is based on real people and these are real situations that happened. Some things are slightly embellished, you know, to make a musical that's 2.5 hours long. But I think I never experienced anyone telling me, oh no, that's not how George Washington was. It's more a case of, you know,
they won that.
Well, yeah. And also like a case of do the research, understand the context historically, but then in our play, there are a series of, you know, actions and happenings, and just play the character and play the truth within those actions and play them and bring to them yourself. Because so much of, I think, the casting in our show is about people today being people from history who are significant, and how might that present itself, because there are a lot of parallels can be drawn. And I think that's kind of the point of the show, really, is like immigrants of that time versus immigrants of today.
And do you think that's different for an American audience, but as particularly resonant for an American audience, but do you think it kind of cuts through for a British audience that kind of in the same way?
I think so. I mean, I was lucky enough to see the show in New York and then obviously happened to be in it now in London. And so I think in terms of, I think what comes through in the show is the humanity, is how at our core, it challenges good versus evil versus, you know, just the challenges that we all face in life. And I think that regardless of the characters being, you know, based in the 1700s or now, I think that humanity still stands. I think that's what gets pushed to the forefront, regardless of when it's set in time. And I think it does transcend from one country to another really well.
When you saw the show in America, were you sitting there watching it thinking, I have to be in this show one day?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw it really early on, so I got to see the original cast, and I remember watching it and going, that has to be me. I don't know how it's going to be me. I don't know how I'm going to get in that show because I can't dance it, so I don't know how I'm going to get in that show.
So the day you got your call from the day you got the call from your agent and said you're in, you got it. That must have been something else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is. You know, I'm a big fan of musical theatre, and I've always been a fan of musical theatre. But for me, this was the show that every generation has like a show, whether it be Rent or Les Mis or whatever. But for me, this was the show that I was like, it means a lot to me to watch and to kind of experience, but to be a part of would just be like ridiculous.
So. Do you all feel that kind of, that there's a slight weight of responsibility in the way that your show kind of has an element of empowerment of Black and ethnic minority people, the way that Six is about empowering women? Does that feel like a responsibility as well as a performer?
I think more than anything, it's about representation. It's about what, when I was growing up, what I saw on stage versus what I think audiences now have the opportunity to see on stage. I guess it responsibility is a word, but for me, like it feels more like a privilege to represent people who look like me, who might not have seen people who look like them on big stages. It does feel like a privilege to be able to be part of that kind of legacy and journey as far as this industry goes, as offering representation and visibility for people who look slightly different than the traditional representation. Game of
shows. Wasn't that fun hearing the guys?
That was great. Lovely to listen to them talk about that. The thing that will stay with me actually is that idea of Jay sitting in a Broadway theater watching Hamilton Yeah. You know, thinking, almost thinking, I wish that was me. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, he's a seasoned professional performer. He's got a great career, but sitting there thinking, I've got to do that show. And, you know, look at him now.
I think that moment will be like a real moment of like inspiration for, you know, maybe some of our listeners who are passionate about musical theatre, maybe want to go into it themselves, that actually, if you want something, it can happen.
Absolutely. And also, the other thing I think is doubly interesting about having Jay and Aaron on is the job that they do as standby for Hamilton. And you look at that program and you kind of, you know, you might just slightly dismiss that standby so-and-so standby. That literally means, and correct me if I'm wrong, that every day they are ready to go on as either Alexander Hamilton or Aaron Burr or King George or Hercules Mulligan or George Washington. And they have to go on stage in that thing and know, you know, every step of that track to be able to, with potentially, I don't know, what, half an hour's notice, I suppose, if
someone could go off literally at the half. Like, I've done it where it's when I was in Jersey Boys and I was Swing, someone went off at the opening number. So the show started, I got a phone call we were on level 4 of the theatre and there was phones on each level so you can be contactable. Got a phone call from the company manager saying, you need to get ready now. You're going on now.
Whoa.
So like literally as Siswarala, the opening number had started, you could hear it on the playback and I was getting into costume. I went on without my hair.
Thinking you were doing other thinking.
Oh my God. That used to happen all the time. What track am I on for? It is. Yeah. It's such a skill. And I think you're right. People don't really appreciate the role as a swing or a standby.
The levels of performing ability. I mean, you literally have to be, I mean, Aaron played it down. He said it requires a certain level of versatility. I think he's being incredibly humble there. It requires a massive amount of versatility, doesn't it, to be able to
you're essentially covering a range of roles that should be for six people or four people, and you're one person covering that range. It's massive. Yeah,
fantastic.
But it is an amazing job. It is so much fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. And especially in something like Hamilton, I would think that...
Yeah.
They must be having the time of their lives. Obviously, at the moment, lockdown, waiting for it to come back. Yeah. But they must be having an absolute ball.
I thought it was interesting what Sophie was saying about the rehearsal process and how she's looking forward to getting in the room with the other girls.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? To think that she... Yeah. And again, people just wouldn't know that watching a show. You would assume when you watch a show that these people rehearse together to hone their work as a unit. She rehearsed completely separately, I guess, her and a resident director and choreographer.
And
then you're into the show and you've got to fit in with five other girls who've been doing it maybe for 6 months. That takes some...
Can you imagine the fun in that rehearsal room when they're allowed back? When they're all allowed back in, now that they know each other and they're obviously the gel because they've done a few shows together.
How long do you think they would rehearse for coming out of lockdown now? I guess it's just a case of brushing it up, isn't it?
I think they might give them a week or something maybe just to get back up and running. Hopefully soon anyway.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I mean, obviously it doesn't really apply for six, but some of those big shows, they're going to need a lot of WD-40 for the set, aren't they?
Yeah. Make sure it's all working.
Make sure it's all working. Like I'm thinking about like big... But, well, I was going to say Les Mis with the barricade, but does Les Mis have a barricade anymore?
Does it still have a barricade, yeah.
Where do you... does it have the old barricade or do you think that's like in Cameron's lobby? Like as you walk in, the doorbell that you press, you go bam, bam. So again, as I keep saying, I just, you know, hope we can start going to watch West End Theatre again soon. Yeah. And it feels very strange knowing they're not there and not being able to go and see them. I have my tickets for Sunday in the Park with George, which have just been, I've just heard that that's all been, I don't know, shelved for now, but I guess it'll happen. I was looking forward to seeing Jake. We should get him on the show. We'll get Jake Gyllenhaal on the show when he's in London.
Oh, yeah, I'll text him now.
Do it. Yeah. Thank you. Say hi.
Hey, Jake.
New phone. Who dis?
My final question for you, Lawrence Markwive,
yeah.
Before we go. When theatres reopen, obviously I know you were going to go and see Sunday in the Park with George, but current shows, what would be like a show that you really want to go and see? Because I think I've thought a lot about, what haven't I seen? I really should see that now.
I think, do you know what I haven't seen yet? It's 9 to 5 and I really want to go and see 9 to 5. Yeah. So I hope very much that it comes back and that I can go and see that because I love the recording. So So I think that would be definitely on my list. What about you?
Well, I'm at the risk of sounding like the biggest suck up here, like I'm trying to win brownie points, but I did promise ZZ that I would go and see her in Mary Poppins. This was like last year when we did a summer school together last year, and that was just before she went back into it. And obviously, it's now nearly a year and a half.
Yeah, and she did make a point, actually, of saying that at one point. Did. I remember.
She shamed me live on the podcast.
Yeah, she did. She was very... It's not gone unnoticed, let's just say
and
that.
And then also, you haven't been in. Again, at the risk of sounding like a stuck-up, I do really want to see Six, because I haven't seen Six yet.
Yeah, it's definitely worth 70 minutes of your time.
Yeah, so now I have some contacts.
And a couple of tickets for Hamilton wouldn't go amiss.
Yeah. I mean, we have to have a perk to this job, right, don't we?
It would definitely be one. You can't call this work, Chris.
Not when you love it.
Not when you love it the way we do. And hopefully our increasing audience will love it too. But so let's just say that again, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, gameofshowsquiz.com. There's many, many ways you can listen to the show. Subscribe to it, comment on it, like it, and tell your friends.
Yeah, spread the word.
Whatever else you do, help us spread the word about this. If you are a fan of musicals, this quiz is for you. And the wonderful performers that we enjoy, and that it just would not happen without. So get in touch, keep in touch, listen to us, and stay safe, stay in, stay alert. Oh God.
Stay alert.
Stay alert.
And listen to podcasts.
And listen to, yes, this one. Thank you.
We will, we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Game of Shows.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hi, it's Chris Studdart from Game of Shows.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.